Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. The theme at our teen camp this year was one that we really wanted kids to be approved unto God. And the theme verse comes here out of 2 Timothy, and it was, you know, study to show thyself approved unto God. And we've talked about lots of different things over the course of not only camp, but brought it up a couple of Sundays ago about knowing the inspector and knowing what God expects in our lives. And tonight I want you to, as you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, look here with me in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. As I read these several verses here from verse 14 through the end of the chapter, and we're going to talk just about this topic and this idea of study. What does it actually mean to actually study something and to be a part of it? And actually, what does it take to study and to fulfill this command in Scripture? As we begin here, just follow along, like I said, and I'll read out loud in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this thing of study is very important to understand what study means. You know, we need to know some things. So study is simply to look into, to gain knowledge, to grasp a concept. Okay, so study is something that you do to research, to explore what is in front of you. You need to study. Another thing about study is it's something that needs to be repeated over and over again to retain something. We ought to study. I've read the Bible once and that's enough for me. Okay, that's not study. That's read. You know, there's a difference between read and study. So what are you looking into? What are you trying to do? And we know that the Bible itself gives us this definition because it says we're supposed to study to show thyself approved unto God. Now that's a big gamut right there. That's a big category. Man, approved unto God. There's just more than one thing we need to do. But he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And then he says, a workman. So guess what it takes? Study does. Work. Study takes work. You got to actually flip pages. You actually have to take out a pen and maybe a piece of paper. And you got to say, well, okay, I saw this here. And so let's write that down. And then as you're reading, and unless you have modern things like computers, right, with scripture verse programs, things like that. Those are wonderful, by the way. But maybe you got the old-fashioned concordance, you know, in the back of your Bible. But, you know, that's not complete. You say, oh, I got that one whooped. I'm going to get the Strong's exhaustive concordance. You know, it's like 17,000 pages. And I'm going to sift through that. Knock yourself out. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Those things just mentioned in that verse are really the essence of study. What are you doing to know God's word? Because you say, well, let's put it into something I can understand. All right? Let's say that it's time to take a test. Now, all you kids, it's summertime. I know I just lost half the crowd because it said, test, click, turn your picture off. This is summertime. My brain is on zero right now. Okay, but you all know what I'm talking about, okay? And you say, all right, I want to do well. I want to show myself approved to my parents. Or show myself approved to my teacher. So on my report card, I get a letter that says A, not F. Okay, that's what I'm trying, that's what I'm shooting for here. And so you say, I'm going to make sure that I know this material. That I've looked into it. That I've discovered something maybe deeper than just the surface idea of something. That we're going to delve into it. We're going to dive into it. We're going to waller into the material so that I get it all over me and I know about this thing. That's study. You know, it's not just memorize. If God would have said, wanted that just to memorize so we can repeat something. That's why, as a Christian school principal, I was pretty tough when it came to Bible memory. Because you know what? Kids can do stuff that you don't think they can do. They really can. I mean, I had 5 and 6 and 7 year old kids quoting 20 and 30 and 40 some verses of the Bible without any help, without making any mistakes. And yes, I was even so rough that if a word had an S and they didn't say the S, start over. Or if a word didn't have an S and they put an S, you said, that's just one letter. You know, give them a hint. Give them a pat. No, it's God's word. And guess what? These kids were doing it on a regular basis. Because they can. They can. But, so as we went through scripture, one of the things that I chase rabbits, and ultimately we do get them, fricassee them, fry them, deep fry them, eat them, whatever it takes. That's what rabbits are good for. The words, they go like this, they go, this know also that the last day of Paris time is gone. This know also that the last day of Paris time is gone. That's not study. They don't even know what it means. And if you ask them 5 minutes later, they can't even say it again. But if God wanted us to say, memorize to show thyself approved unto God. No. Not memorize. You know, I know a lot of scripture. I can't quote them exactly. And sometimes I may leave a word out here or there or I'll just say it. I'll just give up and I'll just summarize it. But I have the idea, the body of what it's supposed to mean. I want to study to show myself approved unto God. You know, God gave us the Bible. He didn't expect us to memorize it. Because we have it in our hands. I can actually go to a verse and read it instead of saying, well, I can't remember it, so, No, I can actually go there and I can actually read it because, guess what? I'm finite and He's infinite. I'm frail. I'm weak. My mind fails me more often than I care to admit. Okay, but that's not what God's talking about, is it? Because I forget a Bible verse, or because I forget something I've looked into, or maybe like you, I go through my Bible reading and I'm like, huh, never seen that before. I've read this passage of scripture 83 times and counting. You know, it's like, what? Man, you've never done, that's never happened to you, right? You see, God understands. So He says, study. You've heard me say before, it's my opinion. Now, and I will always tell you if something's my opinion. Okay? We're not going to build a doctrine in a church structure and hierarchy on this thing. But it's my opinion that the human mind cannot exhaust the knowledge of this book. It's just my opinion. It's the Word of God. It's amazing. It is so full of things. And we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to dig into the Scriptures. Hey, I'm all for a daily private devotional time in your life where you read the Word of God, where you pray and talk to God, where you walk with God. That's so very important. But beyond that, are we studying to show ourselves approved unto God? Are you dividing the word of truth? Are you a workman in the Scriptures that needeth not to be ashamed? Do you put some effort into it, or do you just read it? Okay, I'm going to get my little checklist out. Let's see here. I got one right here. This is my preaching Bible. In my other Bible, I have my list. All right, Philippians 1 and 2. So I'm just going to go and turn to Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2, and I'm going to read my chapter and go through, and I'm going to get my prayer list out, and I'm going to kneel down, and I'm going to pray and talk to God. And let's say I spend my 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, maybe an hour. That'd be great. Walking with God and reading the Scriptures. And man, you know what? I'm working on trying to double up this year. I'm going to read my Bible through two times. So I'm just going to rifle through this thing because I got to get it done because I got things to go do, places to go, and people to see. And we get it done. And that's commendable. I'm not trying to knock reading the Bible and spending time in prayer and walking with God. Not at all. But if that's all we are, and if that's all we do, it's not enough. It's not enough. Hey, start there, but then grow. But then grow. Advance in your life. Listen, if all you've been doing is reading your Bible, praying and talking to God for the last 20 years of your Christian life, you need some more. You need some more. You need to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why? Why do we need to study? Because this world doesn't play fair. That's why. The devil doesn't play fair. Just like old men playing young men in basketball. We old guys, we don't play fair. You know, you might get an extra elbow. Yeah? Or maybe your foot will get stepped on. Or, you know, something like that. I don't know how that happens, but it just does sometimes. Because you're not getting to that rim. You're about to kill you. You're not getting there, okay? Old men don't play fair. But the world doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't play fair. Hey, there's going to be false teachers. And if all you do is read your Bible and pray and have your devotion time with God, you're going to get gobbled up. You're going to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Anything that comes by that sounds good, you're going to take it hook, line, and sinker. Oh, yeah, that sounds like the Bible. That sounds good. He's got you. But if you study, you'll not be ashamed. These people, their word eats like a canker. He even names these guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Why? Because they're not studying. And why doesn't he say they've overthrown the faith of everyone? These guys are good. Well, they've overthrown the faith of some because some didn't study. And some did. So we got to make sure that we're doing our part to complete this command in Scripture. So we've talked about what studying is and all those details. And we're going to get into this a little bit deeper as we move along. And And I don't know how long I'm going to dwell on this topic until God tells me not to dwell on it anymore. But I want to give you just a little bit of an introduction to what needs to happen within us as a believer so that we will study. First of all, we need to have the right attitude about studying. That's it. I do tease a lot, but I do mean this completely and wholly with all my being. I'm thankful for the 16 and a half years that I was a principal of a Christian school. Now, I know I've said some funny things about it and such and so forth, and it is true that the principal of the Christian school is the redheaded stepchild of the staff of a church. And it's a job nobody wants, because it's true. Nobody wants that job. But let me say this, dearly. Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Some of you have been teachers over the years in your lives. Some of you parents, maybe you're homeschool parents, and you've worked with your kids. Have you ever had a child that didn't have the right attitude about studying? Yeah? How'd they do? That's how they did. Yeah. And did you ever have a child? Let's talk about positive things. You ever have a child that did have the proper attitude about studying? How'd they do? Right? Yeah. Attitude is everything. It matters how we perceive this command. You say, study the Word of God. Yeah, boy. I'm there. Bring it on. Let's do it. You know what? You're going to be successful. And not being ashamed. You're going to be successful at rightly dividing the truth. And you're going to be successful at overcoming those obstacles that are going to come. You're going to pass the test. Because you've studied. And you've had the right attitude about it. You see, God wants us to have that right attitude. As Paul's writing to Timothy, he tells Timothy, he says, look, study to show thyself approved unto God. What an attitude. When you're concerned with what God thinks about you, that's a great attitude. When you're concerned about what man thinks about you, that's a bad attitude. We need to be concerned with what God thinks about us, and we need to have the attitude that, hey, I want God to approve my life, and I'm going to study to be approved. I'm going to study. I'm going to have the right attitude about it. Solomon said, and moreover, the preacher was wise. He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I mean, I think I remember in Scripture saying, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, ye shall reap if ye faint not. Does that mean in studying too? Yeah. Is studying weariness to the flesh? Yeah. Sure is. I remember in Bible college, I have some of my notes where there's a semi-legible sentence that ends in a trail of pencil like this. Weariness of the flesh, for sure. But you know what? That shouldn't get us discouraged. It's just part of life. Take it on. And study anyways, because that's the right attitude. It does matter. They are as goads. They are things that hold life together, these things that we study. What are we supposed to do? Fear God. What are we supposed to do? Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We're supposed to be approved unto God. And that's what we ought to eye that prize. We ought to be looking for the coming of our Lord and say, Lord, I just want to be approved. I'm going to know this book. You gave it to me, so I'm going to study it. That's the right attitude. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible tells us, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they're like, I'm ready. Give me something to digest. Give me something to put through my gray matter here and process. I'm ready to study. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to learn. I want to know more about this Christ. I want to know more about these things. It says that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So in other words, they didn't take it at face value. And listen, I don't want you just to believe what I'm saying tonight just because that's what I'm saying. Oh, he's a pastor. You shouldn't ever question the pastor. Why? The pastor could be wrong. I am a fallible man that's doing his best to serve an infallible God. It's okay. I've been wrong lots of times. Man, and I'll be wrong again in the future. I just know it. You know why? Because I'm flesh. I'm a human being just like you. Well, I think I am. That's still to be determined, I suppose. What happened when they did these things? When they received the word with readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, I said this at Vacation Bible School and in Bible college we were taught this. You got it. If you see a therefore, you have to find out what it's there for. Okay? Therefore, so all of this happened. These people were ready to study and they were searching the scriptures whether they were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Yeah, they believed because they said, you know what? We've looked into this. We've dived into it. We compared this with this and we compared what he said with this. And this is what the scripture says. And this is what this says. It's true. I believe it. Studied it. They believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. They want to know. We know as Paul was on Mars Hill and he was talking to the folks there, these Epicureans and these Stoics and all these people. He said, hey, I'm gonna tell you this about this unknown God that you ignorantly worship. You know what? Some of them said, oh, he's mad, right? Some of them said, hey, well, we'll hear more later. Then the Bible tells us some of them believed. And they clave to him. You know why? Because they found something that was true. They had maybe even looked into it a little bit. Or perhaps they had carefully thought about it and they knew that what he was saying was truth. The Bible tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Hey, do you have a ready mind? Do you have an attitude saying, God, I want some more? Do you desire the milk of the word? You say, hey, I got to study this out. I got to look into this. What does this mean? What is God trying to tell me here? Is there more? Is there something else I can look to? What can I do? I want to study. You got to have an I want to attitude. Do you desire it? By the way, he says, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, haven't you? Isn't he? Certainly. In John 14, take your Bibles, turn over there if you'd like. John chapter 14, you got to turn faster because we're running out of time and I'm still on the first point. John 14, look at verse 24. He that loveth me keepeth not, or he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What's the key here? The Holy Spirit of God, which indwells the believer, is the one that shall teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. But if you quench the Spirit of God, if you say, no, Spirit of God, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to do my own thing. You're not going to study. Over the years as a teacher, I tried to help students study. I tried to give them methods, give them tools, give them ideas. But you know what ultimately had to happen? They had to want to study. They had to want to employ those tools. They had to want to take the time to develop those habits and to do those things. You know what it takes? It takes attitude. The right attitude. To study. To show ourselves approved unto God. All right, secondly, take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Not only does it take study, it takes something else. Not only does it take a good attitude, it takes something else to learn to study. And that something else is discernment. Discernment. Do you notice it says rightly dividing the word of truth? Then it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do you know that there are topics mentioned in the Word of God that can derail your Christian life? There are. People get off on all these tangents, and they try to prove something that really isn't that clear in Scripture. And it's more mentioned just for informational value to say, I want you to know this is going on. I don't want you to make a whole doctrine out of it. You know, Dr. Smith always was careful to tell us not to be dogmatic when the Scriptures are silent. Don't start building a church or a whole another religion based off of one Bible verse. We got to use some discernment in our lives. Where do we get this discernment? How do we develop this discernment? All these things. Well, look here at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, here it is, because they are spiritually, spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is not judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What did the wisest man in all the world ask of God? For riches? For honor? Prestige? Position?
No. He asked for discernment. He asked that God would give him the ability to discern and to judge the people. To keep these things. Solomon said, hey, I want to know how to deal with all this stuff. So I can be the kind of king that you want me to be. You know what God was? God was pleased with his words. So he gave it all to him. Amazing. Do you really want to know what the Bible says? Do you really want to know what those therefores are there for? They're spiritually discerned. And so you know what you got to be? Not drunk with wine where it is excess, but filled with the Spirit. Hey, you ever wonder why you may not be able to discern some things? Maybe your cup's a little low. Maybe it needs to be a little fuller. Because guess what? If God can't trust us to simply do something like being filled with the Spirit and empty of the flesh, to walk in Spirit and not in the flesh, to follow after the Spirit and live in the spiritual man and not in the carnal man, why would he trust us with being able to discern the Scriptures? We need to have discernment. And the discernment comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't he going to be our teacher? Is he going to help us remember things? All things whatsoever I've commanded you? God wants us to be able to discern them. We have to do our part. Hey, remember these Pharisees? These guys that Jesus dealt with on a regular basis? They had a problem. Remember Nicodemus? As Jesus said, hey, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, how can these things be? How can a man be born when he's old? You know, how can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Art thou not a master of Israel? Knoweth not these things? He's like, hey, your discerner's broken, Nicodemus. You're not understanding. You're not discerning these things. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot. But can ye not discern the signs of the times? So why is it that we're not able to discern the Scriptures, to rightly divide the word of truth? Well, I think it's because we've neglected the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. We're not where we need to be with our relationship with the Spirit of God. Well, one more. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs. You say, where? All over. Let's start in chapter 1. Service 2 will start in 35 seconds. And we'll go till midnight. We won't. We're almost done. We got time. We got 2.5 minutes. And we're doing great. There's only about 17 scriptures to go through here. So we'll be okay. Each one of them has 27 verses. Look at Proverbs 1. I don't know. I think I've read just this beginning of the book of Proverbs probably hundreds of times. It's fantastic. Want to know about study? Listen to this. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In order to be able to study, we've got to have the right attitude. We've got to be able to spiritually discern things. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. And then we need to understand. Now, I've told you before, understanding is when your way of thinking comes into line with another entity's way of thinking. That's understanding. When I look at my children and I tell them something and I look at them and I said, do you understand? Parents, you've been there. And they move their little head like this, but inside, it's like this. Or inside, it's like, huh? One of my pet peeves is hearing my children say the words, I forgot. No, you just didn't understand. You didn't come in line with my way of thinking. But you know what? Are we not but children? And is he not but our Heavenly Father? You know what we need? Understanding. Cast aside your way of thinking. Forsake it. Turn from it. And see it from his perspective. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, right? They're higher than ours. We've got to say, look, and that's what I really despise about all these Bible correctors out there. And these people that say, well, this is what the Bible said. This is what... They're doing it from man's thinking. They're not considering it from God's position. That's where understanding comes from. It says here, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Who gives wiser counsel than God? Nobody. Why? To understand a proverb. Yes. What does that mean? Does that mean that I say, well, you know, it doesn't really mean what he says there. Yes, it does. Yes, he really means what it says there. Yes, he really says that if you do this or you do that, that this is going to be this and this is going to be that. It doesn't matter what time we are in society. It doesn't matter where we are in 2022. It makes no difference. Because God says, I'm the Lord, I change not. The Bible says, thy word, O Lord, is settled forever. Is it not? Okay. That means the same things that he has here are going to be true throughout time. Time has no bounds on this book. It has no bounds on God. And we need to come into understanding about that if we're really going to study. We need to look at it from his perspective. One chapter over, look really very quickly. See? Where did that 3 minutes go? I doubled it up already. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. What was good about the people in Berea? They were receiving it with readiness of mind. And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like somebody who wants to study and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Wow, that's amazing. I want it. God, give it to me, please. If any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. God, I want to know your word. I want to understand these things. I want to come in line with what you say. That's study. Lift us up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know what that is? That's someone who's approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Someone who has studied. How's your attitude? How's your discernment? And how's your understanding?